but it gets me. You want to talk about Dragon Gate?
Sure, let's do that.
Dragon who now?
Justin, you're the only one who's like seen all this stuff.
It's true. Well, I haven't seen the most recent episode. And
oh, shit, I never watched that. I never watched that Millennials, man.
Okay, so here's the problem. So Alan Forel isn't on the show because he has a sore throat or something.
Are we recording? Because this is, I think, all fine for the podcast.
Yeah. No, I didn't, unfortunately, record a lot of the TNA talk, but I hit record when you said, nobody understands me.
Oh, great.
So that's the first thing people will hear.
great.
But Alan, the only thing Alan really wanted to let us know, which apparently Brad has heard multiple times through an email chain, was there was a match on Infinity 312 between the veterans and the millennials that he says is the best Dragon Gate match of the year.
Wow.
Have you seen it, Justin? I think it's a Shisa, Mochizuki, and Fuji against UT, Ata, and T-Hawk.
I don't think I have. That sounds like that was from, you said from 312?
Yeah, it's the Kurikan show.
No, then I definitely have not. That was the same one. Wasn't that the same one with Yamato versus
Yoshino?
Yoshino, is that the same one?
Brad would know better than I, but I think that's right.
Okay,
it's
so then
from a show.
The timing lines up.
I can find that out very quickly by typing in some words, they are telling me things that I should know.
Okay, you
it's
don't
just
need,
straight up Perd Hapley.
Yeah,
right
you don't need to kill time because I'll do that.
Perd Hapley.
Is that an Adventure Time joke that I will get one day?
No, it's a Parks and Recreation joke.
Oh, then I should get it. What's my problem?
You said it was T-Hawk, Ata, and UT against Mochi, Fuji, and Shisa?
Correct.
Yeah, same show that Yoshino won the title on.
Okay.
Good call, Justin.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So.
Okay. Well, I tried watching it, but it's on I forget what website Alan sent it to us, but it was one of those things where like it played like five...
Daily Motion, I think.
Okay, so it would play like 5 minutes of the match, and then it would stop, play a 30-second ad, then resume the match, then play... And it was like one of those... It was like a terrible moment to do, too. So it did it twice, and I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing that. So
that really bad.
I watched part of it, and it was fine. But it didn't get to the end where, like, everything picks up and everyone poops themselves. Like
if you get the app, like, for your phone, because I used to have the Daily Motion app, and it was just garbage. And just on a whim, I decided to try it now because, like you, I can't watch it when, like, 5 minutes in. It just takes you to an ad. The app, I don't think, does that. I think it just plays it all the way through. So you got to watch it, like, on your phone or something. But it's still better than getting cut off.
Well, but I can also just wait to watch the episode in full on my PC or, you know, another way.
True as well.
Next year when we finally get to it.
It's all on you, man. You can make it faster.
I just don't understand necessarily why you wait until I review the shows to watch the shows.
Because the reason is because, like, if people are talking and stuff or something's happening, I want to know it's okay to skip it. Like, I'm not going to miss an angle or I'm going to miss something big or I know, like, okay, so there's this match, there's no commentary in between, so, like, these 40 minutes of intermission and commercials and stuff are okay to skip over. I won't miss anything.
Okay. Fine. I get that. I wish I had someone to do that for me, except my only two people that I really trust, Justin, you're just, like, the hardest person to get a hold of in the world. And then there's... And then there's Alan, who, no offense, I love Alan. And Alan is like the angel on my shoulder, but literally loves everything so hard, he'd tell me not to skip anything. And then on the other side, there's Jay from iHeartDG.com, and he hates everything. And so I either skip everything or skip nothing, except there is universal acclaim for this Millennials versus Veterans match.
So it's not just Alan's not like the only one championing the match or anything.
No, Jay, who actually hates the Millennials, hates Ata so much and has for a long time, pretty much since he went to Mexico. And now is pretty down on T-Hawk, which is a bummer for me because I love T-Hawk.
Yeah, T-Hawk's
great. He said it was great. And he said the other big match that everyone's talking about, but I think we talked about it last time on the podcast, that's how long ago we podcasted, was Saito versus Yamato.
Right, which, have any of you guys seen yet?
Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm sorry, like, this is going to be a brutal show, but we'll get through it. We'll have things to say about things, just not match quality, except right. for Justin.
We'll go for a long time talking about Mike Seidel.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about him.
He hasn't done any matches on TV.
No, he's only I think his first tape match is going to be at the Coracoan Hall tomorrow, actually. So we could preview that show is going to be pretty interesting.
Okay, I didn't know if he was only over there to train and if like his involvement with Ring of Honor like kept him off TV or something.
Maybe he did, but maybe he I don't know. Maybe he was.
I don't think he's under contract or anything.
No,
he was on Prime Zone in September, which probably aired in October. But Prime Zone, you have to pay $10 a show to see. And I don't like. Are people illegally uploading Prime Zone?
In certain places.
Oh, that's special.
I haven't honestly watched those myself. So I can't. I've seen them up certain places, but I haven't seen them.
I don't even think that's the right way to put it. Like I really liked the show. I subscribed when it started, and then I just started feeling silly paying $10 a month to watch one-hour show, and I was like, oh, that makes much more sense. I'll just wait a while, pay $10, watch a bunch of shows. Then unsubscribe and keep doing that over and over because it got to be a lot. Like you're paying $2 per match, and most of them are really short. And while the stuff that goes on between the matches on Prime Zone is a lot more entertaining than what's going on during the matches.
Like, that's really what I feel like. Yeah, you're paying for almost.
For sure. Like the Yamato, Mandai Ryu, Ricochet, Kitchen Battle. That was all really great stuff, but
right.
but in the ring, like Mandai Ryu isn't great on Infinity. He's not going to be any good on Prime Zone, where everyone's wrestling in front of 20 people and really just trying to have a good time. So I did unsubscribe, but I was surprised. I'm surprised to hear that it's up in certain places. I actually recommend now that there have been 11 Prime Zones, and I think the 11th one is going to air pretty soon. I'd say like that's worth $10 because it's less than $1 per show. And you have a month to watch it. A month to watch 10 hours of stuff is pretty easy. And maybe I'll go back. I have to catch up on Infinity and pay-per-views before I do that.
Yeah, let's not. It's like ahead of ourselves.
Right. And that's the other thing is Prime Zone has nothing to do with the Infinity storyline. It's like self-contained. I mean, the factions are the same, but the feuds don't connect.
But even then, you know, they kind of play by the Dragon Gate rules and stuff. But you get some tag teams that you wouldn't normally see for just abstract silly reasons.
Usually because like someone cool. someone like called someone's mom fat and the other one's like my mom's fat too jerk and then they team up
right
and like the only constant is that Mad Blanky is evil.
Yes, and there's and you get a lot of I hope you like Mandai Ryu because he's sort of everywhere on these shows.
He is the king of Prime Zone. there's a lot of Super Shisa on there too.
So, hey, he's
good.
Good.
Yeah, I like Super Shisa a lot.
He's I'm trying to think of a good like comparison. I feel like he's almost like I don't know like a William Regal type for Dragon Gate.
That's the same thing I thought of. That's really weird.
Yeah, or just like he has good matches. He's one of the older guys, but doesn't really ever get the proper credit he deserves. And they'll throw him a bone every so often.
Can I make an aside real quick? Well, they do that for everyone who's been there for a long time, like Kness, who's actually also excellent. But injured all the time. Like, every once in a while, he gets thrown a bone, and lately he's been in a lot of really interesting stuff. Like, he was tag champ, he was Twin Gate champ, and then, you know, I don't remember whether it was him or Dragon Kid that got hurt. But
it was Dragon Kid hurt his knee.
Yeah, that's right. And then they had to vacate the belts, and then so they just had their rematch for the titles, which is cool. I think technically they were sort of almost being considered still champions, not actually. The championship was vacant, but then Eita and T-Hawk had the interim titles, and oh, I heard that match was also quite excellent. So that just happened on pay-per-view. Eita and T-Hawk against Double Dragon.
That's good.
So the Millennials are getting a lot of praise, and of course, Jay hates them.
Well, they're getting a lot of push. I don't know if they're getting a lot of praise. Like those.
Well, but you just said like two of those matches are getting a lot of rave reviews.
Right. Those two matches are getting great reviews. People are frustrated because Eita, T-Hawk, and UT, who pretty much his whole career has been in Mexico, they're all still doing a lot of the lucha stuff, and it's a little bit of a throwback to the Toriumon 2000 project. Like Lucha Risu, I'm not saying that right, Lucha/Puro hybrid, but
right.
but they're not as good at it as like Yoshino was, as Milano Collection AT was, as Anthony W. Mori was. So it's, I mean, they're just not, like, ATA sucked in Mexico, and that's not surprising because Mexico sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he had, you know, I don't know who exactly was teaching him, but, you know, you saw some of the matches they were doing, and all you could think of was, is this the best place to use his youth to stick him?
Yeah, but... well, I mean, apparently he was having a good time, and that's all well and good. And that's actually, I think, for a young person, that's very important. On the other hand, his job is to entertain my ass, not to have fun as a human.
Well, so, what have you seen of him? What have you actually, either one of you, have you either one of you seen one of their matches yet?
In Mexico?
No, in that, when the, since they've returned.
No, none. So I cannot say, from my own opinion, that he's bad, and I am super stoked to get to the millennial stuff, because okay. It's new. It's new guys. Well, T-Hawk's not new, and H is not brand new, but they're both, like, they're totally not overexposed yet, like every single other person in the company is. And if the style is different... even if it's kind of bad, at least it's different, because the every single person in a Dragon Gate style is at least similar.
That's exactly why I really like these three guys. I don't understand the negativity, because even the negative aspects of each guy, it's still more interesting than seeing the same guys do the same things over and over again, where, you know, we were kind of in this where everything just stagnated so badly, especially with this veteran group. I can't stand Kness. I have trouble watching his matches now. I know every single thing he's going to do before he does it. I don't see any work. I feel like that mask is on his face simply because you can see his eyes like moving. Oh, I got to go over there. And he goes over there now. There's nothing interesting about him to me. He drives me crazy. So
that's it. That's so interesting to me. That's how I used to feel about Susumu, but
same here.
Do you still feel that way about Susumu?
No, not since it's been, because again, I've been watching a long time, but it wasn't until his match with Doi that it's still one of my favorite matches in Dragon Gate history. His match with Doi for the Dream Gate, where he showed this emotion I'd never seen out of him before. And over the years, it's come out more and more and more. He's figured out ways to really kind of build a character and not just be stone-faced guy that hits people. So I like him a lot, way more now.
So that's the same time that I started really digging on Susumu, and it was it feels weird to call him that and not Yokozuka.
Right.
But that was also around the same time that he and Kness started teaming up again, and I really dug that tag team. So, I don't know. I like Kness. I get what you're saying, but I think everyone's kind of like that. I think...
When Justin was saying that, like, I was like, how do you not say that about Maruha Isapa, then?
I absolutely do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, they're just as stale.
I think Horiguchi on his own is actually not that predictable. I think Saito does a lot of predictable stuff, but I dig all his stuff. And Maruha Isapa does do a lot of the same. Like, if I never see that elastic band again, it'll be too soon. And I think I've said that on every podcast we've ever done. But I'm just so over that thing.
Do they? They don't. I don't feel like they do it in every match anymore.
I just watched Infinity 303, and it was in there.
Yeah, I know it was, but I don't know.
It's sort of like the difference between like a pie to the face and a pie to like the chest. It's like if you tell me one of them's coming. One is just inherently more enjoyable to me. And every move that Kness does is just like pie to the chest. I don't really care one way or the other. Well, it's just not a mute. It's not – there's nothing interesting about what he does. Even his general moveset, he wins every time with that the rolling sunset. Yeah, which honestly gets me every – I think that's pretty rad the way he uses it. But and the crowd always gets up for it. But everything else he does is just so uninteresting. It's not like it's the way he does it too. Like the way Saito hits that first dragon suplex and like immediately turns around and try to hit the other. I love that, you know, because he'll do one and they'll pop up for it and he'll immediately go and try to hit another one. You know it's coming, but there's just this sort of fire to it that I don't really get from Kness.
Wait, can I just, like, back the train up half a second? Are we all just totally fine with the pie to the chest analogy? Like,
no, that's so weird.
That's disappointing.
The funny thing is there was like no delay in Justin's head. He didn't have to like think about an analogy. Like it was at the ready.
It could be that I'm eating pie.
Are you eating pie? Chest?
Maybe.
That's
well,
cool.
Are you?
That's
are you? I'm actually looking at three pies right now, and it's weird because I brought them up after this analogy started, and it was not a website for pies. So
yes.
My life is in a weird place.
Justin, are you eating pie based off the Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode? Did that give you?
No.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, all right.
What? It's like not even a spoiler.
Okay.
There are pies involved. There we go.
Okay.
And it's not even like the major plot point.
That is a very funny show.
That show's so good. Also, Charles reminds me a lot of my roommate. And like the sad thing was that we were watching the first episode, and Charles.
Which
did
one
some...
is Charles? Joe Latrulio?
Yeah. So he does something, and I just look at my roommate, and my roommate immediately knows what I'm thinking. He's just like, not a word. Don't say anything. So like
that's
he,
fantastic.
So he recognized himself in the character at the same time I did. So now in our house, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is called The Adventures of Charles. Because that's all.
That's
the thing we care about the most.
For that same reason, I have to watch New Girl by myself. Because too many times Nick has had an outburst and people look at me and I'm like, stop! Stop comparing me to this guy who's almost homeless.
That's awesome.
Really upsetting.
Isn't everybody Nick, though?
I don't... what do you mean? Do you think you're Nick?
I feel like there was something on, like, someone had, like, a gift set on Tumblr of, like, you know, relatable Nick things, and it's like, hey, we're all Nick in our own unique way.
Well, that actually makes me feel a lot better. I'm glad that other people feel that way.
I've only seen episodes of that show, though, so.
It's really funny.
I hear it's good. I think it's on Hulu Plus, so I might give it a watch.
Yeah, it's really good. It's definitely better than Dad's.
Well, what isn't?
I don't know. I know people who watch it. I'm dating a girl who watches it.
I'll date her.
I'm trying very hard to be nice to her, just in all things. And she said, oh, yeah, have you seen Dad's? It's really funny. And the way that I responded, she was like, that was mean.
What did you say?
I was just like, what? Why? Why would you? Okay, I need to get a hold of myself. But really? Dad's? Come on.
See, I would have been
it's
like,
just
no.
So
I...
bad.
See, that was actually probably nicer than something I'd say. I'd be like, no, I don't have brain damage.
Well, my other issue is, like, that show is so bad that it often just resorts, like, oh, we can't be funny, so we'll be racist. And the racism is beyond, it's so broad and not funny. I just have a real problem with it.
Like, give an example.
I only saw the first episode, okay?
Well, that's the thing. This is a good example of how lazy they are. I think the second or third episode is a pot brownie episode. That's like season four stuff. That's like, we're out of ideas.
Or never. Or just, you know, let's not do that. Let's never do that.
Yeah.
It's not – you know when that was funny? The 70s. When I watch movies from, like, the 70s, like Cheech and Chong, and they're giving people pop brownies, and it's like, oops, I ate a pop brownie, then it's funny. But I don't need to see it. Like, I didn't think How High was fun. Not How High. What was the movie with Method Man and Red Man where they go to Harvard?
That was How High.
What was it?
Okay. I did not find the posh – people at Harvard getting high to be all, I mean, they're so horny and going crazy. What in what universe does eating a pop brownie do that to you?
None.
And then what's the other movie where they're on a college campus and the mom eats a Transformers 2. The mom eats a pop brownie and she attacks somebody who's throwing a frisbee. It's like, when have you ever? Never. In the history of marijuana has that happened.
You were referencing some truly awful movies, I must say.
Really, really, really bad.
We're sensing a pattern here.
Hot
brownie scenes lead to just terrible anything.
It's just not a good idea. If you're going to spike someone in a movie, it has to do with a hallucinogenic. That is why Orange County is great and Transformers 2 blows.
Orange County is great. Good pull.
Yeah. It is neat, and I like that movie.
Brad, we are the same height. That is neat.
Thank you for fully bringing that out. So, back to the Dragon Gate well, just for a minute or two. We were talking about the pay-per-view that just happened.
We should backtrack even more because it's been like 3 months since we did a podcast.
For real?
Yeah. I think the last time we talked was Shingo was about to defend the belt against Yamato.
Oh, so we didn't. So no one had seen Saito versus Yamada.
Correct.
Okay, so FYI, if you listen to this podcast, you probably follow Dragon Gate, but Shingo lost to Yamato on television, not pay-per-view, which is pretty insulting, but it's happened before.
And in his first defense of the belt.
Right, for the second time, which makes him the losingest Dragon Gate champion ever. He now beats Saito, although Saito didn't get a second reign. So that was interesting. So Yamato beats Shingo, first defense, for the second time. The first time it happened, Doi beat him. And then Yamato's making fun of him. Oh, I beat you. I can't believe you lost in the first defense. That's so terrible. You are the worst. Only one person's as bad as you. And then Ryo Saito comes out, who is the other person who's lost in his first defense. And he challenges Yamato for the belt. They fight for the title on Infinity. And Justin, tell us how that went down.
Yeah, that was, again, a really, really good match. They teased the finish from the previous one, the Shingo Yamato match, as a near fall in this one, which I love when they do stuff like that. It was way better than Shingo Yamato. Shingo Yamato was really frustrating because Yamato kicked out of every move that Shingo had. He kicked out of Last Falconry, or he no-sold Last Falconry. Completely.
He no-sold Last Falconry not made in Japan? Because he's a Last Made in Japan.
Right, because he hit because Made in Japan, he did that thing where he holds him there, and then he lifts him up to the shoulders and immediately does Last Falconry. Yeah, he hit that, and Yamato basically rolled to his feet.
Oh, that's frustrating, because I actually like that Yamato was the guy who, when Shingo hit Made in Japan, Yamato was immune. Like, he just – that wasn't going to hurt him.
Right.
But Last Falconry is the killer.
That no one – he worked so hard to build this move up. Even Shima didn't kick out of it in their title match. It was just a definitive move, and that was it. And, Yamato rolls through it. Like, he gets hit with a lariat, kicks out. And then a minute or so later, it was really frustrating because they were doing good work until that point, and then it just – it all kind of fell apart. And it was pretty obvious about halfway through – the match that they made a mistake because Shingo is getting over big time. He kind of hit some big spots, and the plan, I mean, I guess they thought they couldn't build him to anything or something, but he was getting huge support, and there were audible – I mean, there was cheers too because Yamato has fans just because of, you know, his presence and him being awesome. But there were also boos. He's amazing, but there were boos as well from certain people, and – and that, of course, led to the Saito match, which had tons and tons of heat and lots of Saito chants. But ultimately, Yamato won. I think he won with Galleria, I'm pretty sure. But he beat him there, and that led to his next defense against Yoshino.
Right. So, but before we get to the Yoshino match, I want to ask you guys a question. First, did you listen to Scott Hall's interview on The Art of Wrestling?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so you don't have to have listened to it, but it will inform the question I'm about to ask. Scott Hall says to Cabana near the end of the – for those of you who don't know, although I can't imagine you know this podcast and not that one, the Art of Wrestling podcast is hosted by Colt Cabana, and it's excellent. And he had Scott Hall on, and the interview was excellent. And but at one point, Scott Hall asks Cabana, you know, how do you feel about kicking out of finishers? And Hall has a very old-school – feeling about it. He's like, no one ever kicked out of the Razor's Edge. I don't know if that's true, but he was like, but his thought process was, if someone was going to kick out of it, I just wouldn't cover them. There's just, it's fine if they don't want to get pinned by it, but I'm not going to, I built this thing up, and so there's no reason for someone to kick out of it. And so obviously in Dragon Gate, people kick out of finishers all the time, and you have to make super killer finishers, which Cabana brought up, and that, and Hall no-sold that comment because that doesn't even make sense to a guy like him. And then I get to thinking, like, it shouldn't make sense to a guy like him, and it kind of shouldn't make sense to us because, well, he did say, he's like, it could be like the All Japan thing where you hit a finisher, the guy gets up, then you hit the finisher again. But the way that Dragon Gate guys have really killed every finisher they have, and Jay actually talked about this on his podcast recently too, about how there's very few finishers that have never been kicked out of. It's troublesome to me because there's not really a story around it anymore. Like, if you look back on Shima's feud with Susumu just throughout the years, Shima had to invent a new shrine because Susumu kept kicking out of the shrine. So he invented the shrine red line, and Susumu didn't kick out of it. And then when they had a title defense much later, Susumu kicked out of it, and I think that was the first time Shima did the Schweinsteiner. So, like, that kind of stuff I think makes sense. But Yamato just kicking out of all of Shingo's finishers, it kills me. And I wanted, I had another comment. Oh, and so now I think the only finishers that have never been kicked out of are the Dragon Rana, the Hikari no Wa, possibly, and that might be it. Like, the Muscular Bomb got kicked out of the first time Doi ever used it.
Right.
It might have been a mistake, but it happened.
Mochi kicked out of Cyber Kong's, the Cyber Bomb. In their defense, that was the first time I'd seen anyone kick out of the Cyber Bomb when Mochizuki defended the belt. That was another one that no one had really kicked out of. So, I mean, I don't really think it's a problem so much as because as long as it's sound storytelling, I don't care one way or the other.
Yeah, but when does that happen?
What do you mean?
Like, when was the last time you saw a guy kicking out of a finisher being part of a great story? Oh, even like Saito had the double cross, that just got kicked out of for the first time. I think Yamato might have been the first guy to kick out of that.
Somebody else kicked out. I think Shima may have kicked out of that in their title match. But
so maybe that's what it was.
It felt familiar. But yeah, that was another one that hadn't really been kicked out of. Well, I think it's even Mochizuki using that Senkaku Gary to the face when he started using that. Yeah. Has anyone kicked out of that yet? I know Yamato.
No one has.
He got a win right after it, like reversing a move from Fuji, because it was going to be a Senkaku Gary to the face and then a choke slam right after, and he turned it into like a Frankensteiner. But
right,
yeah,
but I would rather that happen a million times than that's what it was. Oh, and then Yamato's Frankensteiner, nobody's kicked out of. Someone's reversed it. Yoshino, I think, to win the title, reversed the Frankensteiner to something else. But no one has kicked out of the Yamato's Frankensteiner.
Right. I mean,
so, I don't know. Defend.
I guess my thing is that it's led to knowing that a way that someone's going to get defeated or taking that away is one of the absolute best ways to get heat, as long as you don't do it all the time.
Yeah, but what about a different tactic? Like, okay, no one, for the longest time, no one kicked out of the Stone Cold Stunner. So the story was always, can Austin find a way to hit the stunner? Like, he was an underdog, but he had this finisher that would kill you. Can he find a way to hit it? And he would sometimes have a really hard time. And that's why I like things like the Galleria, because it's easy to escape, but when Yamato hit it for a long time, you always got pinned.
Right, right. Yeah, and now the thing is that he always kind of fights the guy. Like, as he gets them up on their shoulder, they're always, like, kind of pushing off, and you don't know whether he's going to hit it or not, which is kind of cool. But, I mean, I guess I don't like it when it's kind of overblown, when it happens in big moments, like Tozawa. Someone kicked out of Tozawa's package German again.
Yeah, it's only happened once. It's only happened one time.
I think Doi kicked out of it recently, didn't he?
Did he?
In that tag match.
Usually what happens is, like, a guy will get one arm free.
Yes, exactly.
And they'll kick out of that, and that's fine. But if he has both arms, I think that's only been, as far as I've seen, it's only been kicked out of once.
Yeah, it hasn't. With both arms trapped, I think I've seen it once. But I think against Shima and against Mochizuki, they both got, like, an arm out as he was going up the bridge, which I think is really cool. But I don't know. I think that there is value in someone kicking out of your finisher, but it's too prevalent. I think it's too often people kind of abuse that. I mean, look at Shima. He can't even finish anyone with a Schwein now without embarrassing them. He just can't.
Forget the Schwein. I've seen the Meteora doesn't do anything. He has to hit the Meteora, then the Meteora to the back, then the mini Meteora. I mean, how many Meteoras does this guy have to hit? Yeah. It's a crazy move.
It's true. And I think people kind of, even though the wrestlers probably have to take a lead from that, because he is the face of Dragon Gate, as it were. But
he's not working right now, is he?
No, he's not, but he's still, I mean, he works occasionally, but he's still the guy. He was on the pay-per-view. He was on the Osaka pay-per-view.
He's what's best for business.
Yes.
But he's Yagi, isn't he? He's not wrestling.
He wrestled on the show.
Oh, did he? What match was he in?
He was in, I mean, that's the thing. He was in an 8-man tag with the Millennials, with Yasuke and his new transgender character against a bunch of the veterans.
Who are these Millennials? Like, who are the guys with Watanabe?
Flamita and Rocky Lobo? I have not seen them. I have no idea.
I don't know.
They're from Mexico, right? Yeah, they are.
Oh, God.
But at least they're in Dragon Gate, not Mexico, so not 2 out of 3 falls.
That's true.
Oh, sure.
Also, are we sure that he's transgendered and not just, like, really flamboyant?
Oh, yeah, you might be right.
I think he's just a cross-dresser.
You might be right.
The transgender thing came from Jay, and I think that came from a lack of knowledge about what words mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he just dresses like a woman. Although, to be fair, I was just listening to WTF. This is a very, like, non-Dragon Gate-heavy podcast.
Which I love.
And Eddie Izzard was one of the guests on one of the live shows, and he says that he is a transvestite, but he's a straight transvestite, and he actually hasn't trans any genders. I don't actually know about his sexuality. I don't know if he likes men or women. But so either transgender to him means that he was born a man but feels like he's a woman. But that's not necessarily what a cross-dresser is.
No, not at all.
Right, a cross-dresser is just someone, on the face of it, who likes to dress like the opposite sex. But a transgender is someone who feels that they are the opposite sex, or
right,
gender, or whatever the correct terminology is. Oh, can I tell you guys an embarrassing... Nope, not telling the story on the air.
Damn it. You're so close.
We had it and we lost it.
I'm not doing it. I know, I'm sorry. I was like, this is a good story. Nope. Oh. Don't need everyone to know about this.
Okay.
It's not too bad, but still. I'm going to keep this one to myself.
Fair enough. You can't give it all away on the podcast.
I've got a painting of Macho Man on my wall, and he's telling me, don't do it, brother.
That's a great painting, too.
I love it. Did you come to my apartment when you were in New York?
No, but you showed me you bought those. Don't you have, like, that, an Earthquake and a Yoko painting?
You nailed it. I have extras of each of them if either of you want to buy it, or if anyone listening to the podcast wants to buy it. I have extras of these beautiful tributes to dead wrestlers. They're pretty big, too, these prints, screen prints.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, maybe I'll put a link up on pwponderings.com. Mm.
Well, also, in addition to that one title change of Yamato being Shingo, we had another title change.
Back when Yamato beat Shingo?
No, when Masato Yoshino defeated Yamato.
Oh, when Yoshino defeated Yamato, we had... I'm not on that page anymore.
Now, here's another question. Naruki Doi turned on him and joined Mad Blanky. Was that before or after the title win?
Before.
Okay. So that happened before everything else. While Yamato was still champ, Doi turned heel again on Yoshino and joined Mad Blanky. And I say it again because I believe he did it the exact same way that he turned heel on Yoshino and joined the Blood Warriors a couple of years ago.
Well, he's done it like 9 times.
Yeah, he only turns heel one way, and it's by faking up the Bakatari Slayer.
Yeah, so whatever.
Yeah. Although I do like Doi as a heel. Oh, I think I like him more as a baby face.
I don't like
Yoshino without Doi.
No, but hold on. The best Doi ever was Doi Darts.
Yeah, but that was... Okay, but Yoshino was garbage during that era.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And Doi was still goofy Doi. That's what I like about him. I like when he's kind of silly and not so serious. I don't know.
Mad Blanky's kind of silly.
It's gotten to the more silly level.
I mean, is he silly in it? I mean, I haven't seen much of him in the group, but it seems like he's like uber serious Doi.
Justin,
again,
if you haven't seen much of him in the group, then we really haven't.
Right. You've seen way more than we have.
I keep forgetting that.
Sorry. Do you want to just talk about Adventure Time instead?
That's another podcast.
Yeah, we do have to make that happen, but that is another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
Doi is heel, and did he win a title? No, he just challenged Yoshino for the title and lost.
Yeah.
So now Yoshino's champion. What do y'all think about that?
Oh, God.
Why is he champion?
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with you. Well, I do know. I think the idea was Mochi was champ forever, and then Shima was champ really forever. So they wanted to create a little bit of excitement around the title. So, you know, Shingo lost after one defense, Yamada lost after two, and then, you know, people really did believe that Doi could beat Yoshino. I think a lot of people thought that Doi would beat Yoshino. But
I did.
Yeah, there you have it. I wouldn't be totally surprised if Yoshino lost the title to the winner of the key hunting match. So there's a four-way match. It's you guys might have to help me out because the only person I know, I think it's like Susumu and T-Hawk.
Hulk and Tozawa.
There you go. Hulk and Tozawa. They're going to fight early in the show in a key hunting match, and then the winner is going to face Yoshino in the main event for the Dreamgate title. And that's happening, what, on the 6th? That's happening, like, tomorrow?
7th.
Oh, if we had just waited one day, we could have talked about this. Because by the wait, it's the 6th today, right?
Right.
Yeah, so by the time you watch this, by the time you listen to this, all of this will have already happened. So sorry.
So either going to be great prognosticators or look like fools.
Right. So I think, and it's wishful thinking, that T-Hawk is going to win the match and lose to Yoshino. But what should happen is that Tozawa wins the match and then beats Yoshino.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, why is Tozawa not Dreamgate champion already? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
I can't explain it. That's the other reason. I can't. This move gets you further away from Tozawa's champion, whereas Yamato puts you right there.
Yeah, now,
which is why I see Brad's scenario happening.
What, Tozawa winning and winning?
Yeah, because, like, what other way are you going to get there aside from just fighting in faction and, you know,
now,
the faction?
Granted, when Shingo won the title the first time, no, sorry, when Yamato won the title the first time, he defended against Shingo and they were both in the same stable, but I feel like that could happen, but it won't. I don't know. Monster Express is so new. I don't see there being any problems within the stable yet.
Oh yeah, there's a stable called Monster Express now.
Oh right. So Monster Express is the main babyface stable now. What I do like is that there's two heel stables. So that's cool.
Millennials are technically heels.
Yeah, I mean, they're just... the crowd does not like them. They're not over, apparently.
Oh.
So there's that. But,
I don't get that sense at all. I don't know who told you that, but...
Jay keeps telling me that. I can only go by what happens in my super secret Dragon Gate email.
Yeah, Brad's in, like, this whole Dragon Gate Illuminati, so...
In the real world, when Yamato and Hulk faced off against Eita and T-Hawk... They were chanting Eita's name like crazy during the match.
That's awesome.
Eita was super over. So any and the pin got a huge response. So any commentary otherwise is just, I don't know, just wishful thinking or just plain ignorance. I don't know.
And part of the match I watched, the 3-12 trios match, Eita did the fake out moonsault dive to the floor, and that. Still gets awes from people.
I don't like that. Oh, I don't. He hurt himself. When I saw him live do that moonsault, and he hit his head on the goddamn guardrail.
I thought he hit it on, like, the top of the turnbuckle post on his back.
That's what people were saying, but I was like, that would have killed him had that happened.
Oh, he could have, like, grazed it and got a little cut.
He was busted open, and we were all just like, what is going? Because the people closest to it happening thought he was dead. And I was on the other side of the building. Oh, wait, weren't you there with me, Kevin?
Yeah, you moron.
There we go.
You were sitting right next to each other. You weren't on the other side of the building.
No, we were. We were on the other side of the ring.
Oh, I thought you meant other side of the building. Like, we were nowhere near watching it.
We were just not... No, well, I mean, the crowd's not that big. We just weren't right in front of where it happened.
I hear
we were
you.
On the opposite side of the ring. So, that's good stuff. I am going to at least one Dragon Gate USA show. Is it this coming weekend?
No, it's next weekend.
Oh, that's good to hear because I made plans. but
which one are you going to? Well, no, finish your slot and then we'll get to those.
What was my thought? Oh, so the guy who doesn't think that the millennials are over thinks that they're actually going to go with Hulk winning. But not necessarily winning the title.
That makes sense too, I guess.
I honestly, it's the only thing that makes sense here. I think Doi, that's why I thought Doi would win. Doi Tozawa, Doi T-Hawk, Doi Susumu again, and then Doi Hulk with maybe, because they keep saying he might like leave the group or something like that, teasing that match or maybe teasing Hulk, like testing the waters to see if Hulk could get any reaction anymore from fans. I thought that – I don't think so either. But I think that made the most sense. That's why I went with Doi. Now I really only feel like Hulk's the guy here. I don't know. But I don't think he's winning.
It's a problem with the fact that Yoshino is just so boring and Doi is just not so boring. There's a reason they gave Doi the title before they gave Yoshino the title. They gave Doi every title before they gave Yoshino the same title. Yeah. Doi's just better.
Does Yoshino have anybody he teams with that can be as like exciting and interesting as it when he's with Doi?
Ricochet.
Okay, that's a good.
But Ricochet can team with anyone and be exciting.
Yeah, Ricochet's like the best ever.
I agree. I agree on all counts. I don't know what happened. I was not a fan of Ricochet 2 years ago, and now I cannot get enough.
It's like
he ate and absorbed Pac's essence.
That's what happened, man. It's like Pac is the Blitz from How I Met Your Mother, and he passes on to Ricochet.
I don't watch that program anymore.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I don't remember that.
The Hurley episode?
Bad Luck?
Yeah, the Hurley from Lost. Oh, yeah, but it's Good Luck. It's like talent.
It was the opposite of Hurley's Lost.
Precisely.
Image. Remember when we were going to have a podcast arguing about the ending of Lost?
No, I don't.
Oh, Kevin, you wanted to moderate it because I loved it and Justin hated it.
Oh, God, that sounds like a great podcast. We should do that.
Yeah, we're going to do a different podcast project first.
Excellent.
But
then you guys will forget all about the anger and the happiness.
Oh, no, it's still there, bubbling in the surface.
I know. I love it like crazy. I'm really mad at Damon Lindelof for writing this article that, like, pseudo-apologized for it. It's like, fuck you. It's not your place. It doesn't belong to you anymore.
Speaking of,
anyway, I'm going to the Queens show, probably, not the Brooklyn show.
Mike Quackenbush just interviewed J.J. Abrams for his podcast, so I wonder if that's going to be crazy with those two guys. So
Mike Quackenbush didn't lose his podcast in the divorce?
No.
That was funny.
I didn't understand your reference.
Mike Quackenbush lost Chikara in the divorce.
Oh, I thought you said in the dwarves.
No, in the divorce.
And I imagine
another rumor about Mike altogether. So
the dwarves. Okay.
No, I don't care if it's true or false. I just think it's hilarious.
Okay. No,
you guys are such sensitive Chikara fans.
I thought you said dwarves, not divorce. I would have laughed if I had understood.
Wait, why does Quackenbush have a podcast? He doesn't have a wrestling promotion.
He has a wrestling school, though.
Still?
Yeah. And he'll have the company back soon.
Yeah, what's going on there? Did you guys already talk about this last week?
No. Not really, not at all. No, they're just doing a bunch of, like...
viral shit?
Yeah, like viral, you know, ARG stuff. It's hopefully all going to come together and make sense soon. But I would suspect by National Pro Wrestling Day in February, it'll be back.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I'm going to rely on you for all that stuff, because I don't care at all. You're gonna have to sum that up.
There's been some cool shit going on Twitter and things. I'll fill you in later. But yeah, so you're going to the Queen show. Is that on the Sunday, the 17th?
I don't remember. The lineup really wasn't what made the difference. I have a friend in Queens who will go to a wrestling show with me. I do not have a friend in Brooklyn who will go to a wrestling show with me, even though I like going to Brooklyn much more than I like going to Queens. Subcategory of that is for burgerweekly.com. This month I'm eating hamburgers only in Queens, so it actually just sort of works out.
You're a queen.
That was rude. Rude of
you. You're Yosuke Hart Santa Maria.
Is it pronounced Yosuke Hart Santa Maria, or is it just Yosuke Santa Maria?
I guess you don't pronounce the X in...
Oh, I just stubbed my toe so bad.
Okay, so one of those shows is in Elmhurst, New York. Is that where you're going, Queensboro Elks Lodge?
Yeah. Elmhurst is a neighborhood, a city.
Well, they put Elmhurst, New York, so I don't know.
I remember when Ring of Honor ran their first show in Queens, they put Queens, New York, and not New York, New York, which is perfectly fine. Like, that's a legit mailing address, but... Queens... Elmhurst, I think, is in... I'm Wikipedia-ing
It's on
now.
Queens Boulevard.
Yeah, so I think, well, Queens is connected to Long Island. I'm not going all the way out there, but hold on. I'm pretty sure it's in Queens. Why don't I know this already?
It says,
oh, yeah, Elmhurst is in Queens. I'm fine.
Okay. Have you seen the – they put out the full card today, I think.
Was it – did I not talk to you about it?
You talked about the Brave Gate, and that was it.
That, but that's happening on that show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I like – I'm excited to see Mochizuki versus Tony Nese. I think that'll be interesting. I do not care at all about Johnny Gargano's matches. And Jake Ziegler and I had an interesting conversation today. He was in super negative dude mode, which is when I love to talk to him. Because I know that he talks to you like that a lot, but to me he's always in like happy dude mode. So
we talked a little bit about Dragon Gate USA today as well. Like, because one of the things that we talked about was I think there was something in the news thing that Gabe said.
It's like
Chuck Taylor versus Trent Beretta, no hype necessary. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this match is happening for no reason. You have to hype it.
Well, thank you. Who said that? Because he said that same thing to me.
Oh, damn it, Jake.
He's like, yeah, a little hype is necessary. I have no idea why this is happening.
Well, this is what happened. This is why us three can't talk to each other without feeling like who steals each other's thoughts.
That's so funny. Except all my thoughts are original. But he also said he said he got mad at Gabe because he's like, Gabe asked, I guess, on Twitter and Facebook, how should I book the Japanese guys on these shows? And it's like, what is your job exactly? What do you get paid for if the fans are booking the show?
Well, that's what I told him. I said it's basically just a card of showcase matches.
Right, and then that's a problem because what is this promotion? And why should anyone care about Johnny Gargano's insanely long, insanely boring title reign when all of his things are like, I want the title, you get a shot. What kind of heel is that, for one thing? Is he still a heel?
Yeah.
Yeah, worst heel ever.
I guess. I haven't seen a Dragon Gate USA show since you and I went to that.
Neither have I.
So there you go.
Oh, it's so bad. Anyway, so I'm not interested in him versus Susumu, even if it's a good match. I'm like really over Gargano.
Bucks and Bravado should be pimp.
Yeah, and Genki versus Swan could be fun. It won't be great, but it'll be fun. I bet the Elastic Band comes out.
Ricochet versus Biff Busick should be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Gabe loves Biff Busick, huh?
I love Biff Busick.
Who is this guy?
He's so awesome. He
looks weird.
He's a Lance Storm student. He also trained with Funaki for a bit. He's real good, head-droppy, suplexy kind of guy.
Davey Richards?
No, not at all. I think he's super good. He's good tech.
His intensity is much more believable.
Do we have any reports on Anthony Nese and how he's doing in Japan? He's only had a couple matches, I think.
People, I don't know how the matches have been, but apparently The Office is pretty into him.
Well, he's all over Tozawa's Vine now.
Oh, then he's set. Because yeah. Once you're on Tozawa's Vine, you're there for good. Thank you, UHA Nation and Ricochet.
Shake it up.
Oh, shit!
Justin, have you looked at Tozawa's Vine at all?
I've seen a few videos, but no, I don't like follow it.
So if you've seen one video, you've seen most of them because it's shake it up and they shake up their protein shake and then it jizzes in their face.
Right.
And then there's the best friends ones where they do things with each other. It's all pretty gay, and I don't mean gay in like a lame way. I mean it is pretty homosexual. Except for one, which is just gross, where Tozawa popped a pimple on Ricochet's back. And I said something to Tozawa, you know, like as a fan, I don't expect anyone to ever respond to me on Facebook. But I just wrote something to Tozawa, like, whatever you just posted, I'm just glad you're not popping Ricochet's pimples, and he liked it.
Well, the best videos are the ones where, like, UHA and Ricochet are like, dude, you Vine too much. And they're in.
Oh yeah, I like that. Or one where Uha's like, "Oh, another Vine, really?"
Yeah, like they'll just be like talking to like someone else who's not just that one. They're like, "Get away from us."
Yeah, what's funny about that is I used to follow UHA on Vine, and his Vines were so pointless and so frequent that he's really hypocritical for saying that shit.
Does he still do them?
I don't know. I don't follow him anymore.
Well, we're gonna find out.
He follows Burger Weekly on Facebook, though.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of tricked him into it, but yeah.
Are you calling him stupid?
I'm not calling him stupid. I'm just saying I'm a trickster. And you might as well call him, I don't know who's a trickster. I'm like Jack of, I don't know, comic book reference. Nobody gets it.
All right, I see UHA. I found him.
Did you just, like, take your link and just, like, send him a message that says, like, big-titted ladies? And just, like,
no.
And then that,
nothing that overt. I friended him. And then and a lot of other people. And then I converted that Facebook account. It was not mine. It was a fake. And I converted that Facebook account.
Oh my God.
To a Facebook page, and then I merged that Facebook page with Burger Weekly's Facebook page. Oh. I'm a social media terrorist.
Apparently.
So UHA Nations is mostly retweets now, but there's one that it looks like he took or Tozawa takes UHA's tights and puts them on his face.
Ew.
It apparently says so clean, so I presume he just cleaned the tights, but still, ew.
No, they're being ew. I don't like any of what goes on in Japan.
Not even the protein shakes?
Oh, shit. Shake it up. Hey, it's time to shake it up. Okay, see? It's already boring for you guys, right? I've watched dozens of these videos.
Because you were going to do a report on the Vine, and then I followed Akira's on Vine. I'm like, what report is Brad planning to do? I was hoping.
I remember it feeling like a good idea when I said it, and then I didn't come up with. And then we just didn't podcast for 3 months.
Yeah, sorry about that, by the way, because we created the Twitter, we got lots of followers, and then just didn't follow up in any measurable way.
Yeah, and we asked for questions, and I'm pretty sure didn't respond to them at all now, although I don't know that they're even still relevant.
Let's look them up. Let's see. I'm going to do okay. that.
Are you on?
While you're doing that, another Twitter thing that I kind of struck me. Tozawa just posted too easy and hashtagged it Monster Express, Tozawa Mania, Best Friend, Dragon Gate, Gaiora, Monster Energy, DGUSA, and Too Easy. Tony Nese just responded, go to bed. Wait, that's it. Not like an exclamation point, no smiley face. He didn't even bother capitalizing go. He just wrote go to bed, period.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the same room.
Right? I was thinking the same thing. Which, I don't know why Tony didn't just yell at him, dude, go to bed.
Divine did, that's why.
No, not just that. Tozawa doesn't pay attention to things in the real world, but he's very active on social media.
All right, so I'm going through. I'm going to find some of these.
I think our Dragon Gate podcast is the best Dragon Gate podcast. I'm just putting that out there.
Absolutely. It's got to be.
I just wish we did it more often.
Well, we can help that.
I think we've proven tonight that we don't need that much information about Dragon Gate.
We don't even need Dragon Gate to talk about Dragon Gate, really.
Okay, so there was a question of your thoughts on the new Best Friends unit, Monster Express, and your thoughts on the name itself.
Okay, I like the team, even though it's a little bit like Friend? Really, Brad? It's a little bit fan-friendly for me. Like, they took all these big, like, oh, you love this guy? You love this guy? Love this guy? Love this guy? Let's just put them all together and make a super team. But that actually doesn't bother me. And I like the name Monster Express. I don't know why people are thinking that's like a particularly weird name. It is grammatically much better than Deep Drunkers or Mad Blanky. And I think like they're monsters and they're gonna express right up your ass. I don't know. I think it's good. And they all are like a kind of monster. And I like that Shachi Hoko Boy is a part of it. So that's my thoughts.
Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't dislike it for any reason, but it's not particularly striking for any reason. It was just kind of two groups that were – or several groups that were just kind of shoved together without – there's no leader. There's no – it's just kind of just a bunch of dudes.
No, they're a team. They're like the Planeteers. They're the Planeteers.
There's Captain Planet. They come
together right, there's no, even – no. And then
– Monster – the Monster Express is Captain Planet.
Come on, ride the train. Come ride it. Why is that not?
What? No, that's not right. That's not right at all. Nothing you just said. Ask us another question.
The same guy asks, and we cannot talk about this if we don't want to, but it says, which unit do you see Rich Swann joining?
None. He's out of Dragon Gate. Sorry, y'all. You should really enjoy his match with Genki Horiguchi in Queens, because that's the last you're going to get of him wrestling a Japanese guy until the next Dragon Gate USA show, because he is out of Japan.
What Brad said.
Yes, and that was from, sorry, I'm trying to find the user, at Sandro TWIS, asked those questions.
Thanks, Sandro.
Hey, let's answer some TJ Hawk questions.
Did TJ Hawk, oh yeah, okay, why not?
Okay, if you guys have watched DGUK and what you like and dislike about them.
I didn't know they were out. I hope I get to watch them sometime before 2015.
No chance that's happening.
Probably not.
I assume you have not seen anything, Justin.
I have not.
Okay. And so his other question.
I wish Alan was here. He could totally answer that.
Yeah, well, he's not.
We never introduced ourselves at the beginning of the episode or mentioned that Alan wasn't going to be here.
I had mentioned Alan wasn't going to be here.
Justin, can you corroborate that?
From my understanding was that Alan was not going to be here.
Cause
no, I'm saying, did Kevin say that at the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah, because that's what led into our discussion of the 3-12 trios match.
I have no idea.
Good call. Good call. Remember. I remember that now.
Okay, so TJ Huck also asks, also, what should be the Dreamgate match at Final Gate 2013?
That's actually a good question. Justin, I'm going to let you take that one first.
Oh, good. Boy. I don't care as long as it's well built up. And it's not, please don't let it be a veteran. I feel like they're just doing a history repeat itself thing, and it's going to be Mochizuki, which is perplexing. Who would I like to see in that spot against Yoshino?
I think that's where T-Hawk gets his title shot. If it doesn't happen by the time you see it.
Really? I'm going to say... no, it's not. Well, it could be. I'm gonna say something terrible. I'm gonna say Shima.
Ew.
I know. I don't like it anymore. It's not who I'd like to see. It's who I think is going to, right?
But why do you think that?
I don't know. I feel like he's gonna be rested up. They're gonna realize, oh crap, we have nowhere to go with this guy, and because they love doing that. They love doing Yoshino versus Shima. So they're just going to do it again. I don't want to see it, but I think they're going to.
You're not lying. They do love doing that match.
You've just broken Brad's heart by suggesting it, though.
Oh. I remember back in 2004 when they first had their first Dreamgate match against each other, and I loved it. It was like the match that made me think the Dragon Gate guys could do single stuff. And now I never want to see it ever again, ever.
What year did it happen again?
2000 and turn.
That's a good year.
Yeah, it was like a great year for wrestling.
I think it should be Masato Yoshino versus KZ.
Why don't you ever take anything seriously ever?
Because life is painful. Because
it's time to go crazy was the correct answer to that question. You fucked it up.
But it's always time to go crazy, so it can't it's be time, time if I'm to always go crazy. No, gosh. Yoshino should face Tozawa and lose. That's what should happen.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I'd even take Yoshino versus Ricochet, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, so hey, do you guys want to all go in together on the new Best of Shima DVD? Why are you laughing already?
You are totally like trying to Amway us on this.
Yeah,
you want
no.
it so bad, and yeah. you're trying to telegraph it like we could all share it. You know?
Yeah, no,
whose house is it getting sent to?
Yeah, mine first, but then I'll totally send it to you guys after I watch it. I just Ricochet versus Shima is on the DVD, but Dragon Gate is such a bunch of bastards. It's $50, and I just can't justify that.
No,
and it's not going to end up online,
Brad. It's only 5 Prime Zone episodes.
Oh man, don't you want to see it?
Not $50 worth.
Exactly.
No, it wouldn't be $50 if we all go in on it together.
What else is on there that I haven't seen?
I don't know, nothing maybe.
Won't it show up somewhere? Like it'll pop up someday.
No, have you ever seen a full version of Shima versus Genki Horiguchi? It's probably on this DVD, actually.
Well,
so that Genki versus Shima, full length, probably.
We have 1.5 matches that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, come on, mans.
$50.
No! Oh my god. It's only going to cost you. What's half of $33.33?
How much is it to ship?
I don't know, Justin. A lot, probably.
God,
it's coming from the other side of the world.
Sony Japan just pirated already.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's actually out yet. I was trying to get Jay like to convince him to do it. He's like, dude, every Dragon Gate DVD costs $50. It's not worth it for me. It's got to be worth it for someone. Maybe Jeff Lynch will have it. That, oh, why am I saying all this piratey stuff on this podcast.
That's actually really sad that Jay just doesn't like get all the Dragon Gate DVDs gratis.
Well, I don't. Why is it sad? I don't think he actually works for them. I think he sort of like freelances for them. I can just ask him.
I don't know if he would get like paid necessarily, but I figure they like he'd be like, hey, have some tickets to the show, or you know, hey.
Yeah, well, that might happen, but what I don't think happens is they're not going to give a guy in America a DVD that is incredibly hard to figure out how to buy in English.
That's true. It's kind of making it easy for him to pirate. But I mean,
we really can't even buy it. Like, I mean, I guess we technically can, but.
Well, we absolutely can. It's just very difficult. You have to translate what's going on.
Here's what you do, Brad. Here is what you do. You write to Shima on Twitter. You say you want a copy of his DVD. Bring it to Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah, but he's still going to charge me $50.
Is he, though? He almost.
Okay, I'm writing him right now. Guys, go, if you on Twitter, you can go twitter.com/GaroonGate, and you'll see at Dragon Gate Shima. Dude. I want your DVD. What's it called? Do we know what it's called?
No.
It's on YouTube.
Just the Shima Royale DVD.
It's called Shima Royale, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Where's Twitter? I want
Twitter?
Your Shima Royale DVD so hard. Can you bring some to DGUSA to sell? Hey, he'll understand that, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
What should the hashtag be?
You.
Ooh, yeah, just lots of yous.
Ooh. Hashtag ooh. Hashtag. Yes. Hashtag veteran. What's the veterans? Their team name is like crazy long now.
We are team veteran.
Yeah?
Yeah, we are team veteran.
Hashtag monkey torture.
No, I actually want this thing.
Hashtag I like cola.
Our team veteran.
As a backup plan.
I love cola.
As a backup
plan. I love college came up.
When I join the TNA writing staff, I'll push hard for the World X Cup tournament to return.
So Yoshino and Genki can come back?
Right, and I'll have them bring over a couple of said DVDs.
Okay.
Or I'll just bring over the same wrestlers that were in the matches that we missed and force them to do it beat for beat as the original match.
No, but the crowd will be different.
Yeah, that's true.
This is awesome 90 seconds in.
I'll go in the front row and I'll go, oh, ah! Like, oh,
yeah, but you're neither gay nor female enough to constitute the Dragon Gate audience.
Well, he's not female enough.
Unacceptable.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good place to call this thing.
Did you guys like the show?
Thanks, Kev.
Justin, if they do get in TNA and you write for them, you have to get Yoshino to end every TNA show.
Okay.
Do you guys want to do plugs and then call it a night?
Yes, at K413 on Twitter. Listen to Fan Podcast on Pro Wrestling Ponderings.
Justin J. Houston on Twitter. That's all I got.
All right, Garoon Gate on Twitter. You can see that tweet that I just sent Shima. And keep your fingers crossed that he'll bring those DVDs. And at Burger Weekly on Twitter. And then also follow PW Ponderings wherever PW Ponderings is sold, because we are part of the PW Ponderings Wrestling Podcast Network. I don't think I said that right, but it's all true.
That works. Also, chikaraspecial.com and at chikaraspecial.
Cool.
Awesome.
What was that?